Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The Bernstein and Rahimi Show, 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Okay, I'm fired up baseball guy.
I wish more guys pissed me off when I played.
Cody Decker.
Hey, Cody, why do you not like the Brewers?
Trash organization. The launch angle craze is absolute madness.
Outfielder Cody Decker.
If you don't take advantage of the data, then don't play this game. I got into a fist fight with Mauricio Dubon in the dugout.
Center field, Mauricio Dubon.
I had to lead off that inning. First pitch, I hit a ball 470 feet.
Swing and a drive, hit the deep left center. That ball's headed for the wall. It is gone! It's gone! Cody Decker with a game-winning two-run home run.
Cody Decker.
The topic came up yesterday as we were discussing the Cardinals. It had to do with Yadier Molina and Hall of Fame potential. And we got into it a little bit. And it seems to me, based on the tenor of the overall conversation, that he's going to be a Hall of Famer. First blush, do you think he's a Hall of Famer?
Yes, I do. But I agree with you on the offensive side. Of course, he's never been the main offensive threat that you see most Hall of Famers. But there is something to be said about longevity, especially in today's modern day and age. This is a guy that's won multiple World Series with a historic organization like the St. Louis Cardinals.
I'm locked in.
I would go back and play for the Brewers for free before I ever put on the Rockies purple ever again.
Cody Decker with Bernstein and Rahimi on The Score.
Time now for Cody Decker. God, Wednesday at 11 already. WSCR baseball analyst who is on Twitter at Decker6. And he joins us on the Score Hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Interesting, isn't it, that they would be our new partner and sponsor of the Score Hotline, because we have an announcement, don't we, Cody Decker?
I don't know. Do we, Dan? Do we have an announcement?
Does this look like an announcement to you? Because it does to me. As I love to say, this just handed to me. The Score and Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas are excited to announce a new show, Down the Line with Cody Decker. There are going to be 40 shows leading up to Cubs pregame shows on The Score. So functioning as sort of a pre-pregame, the first show is this Friday at 6 p.m., and the show is going to break down the upcoming game, going to take a look at some of the latest lines. We revisit, I'm sure, great baseball stories from your long pro career, latest news in MLB, and insight into the national pastime. Down the Line with Cody Decker, presented by Circa Resort and Casino, home of the world's largest sports book. Congratulations, and welcome.
Thank you.
Even more to the fraternity sorority we have here.
That's right, Chicago. Whether you like it or not, you get more of me. And me, I like it, and you should too, because I am fired up to do this. Going over a lot of gambling lines, going to go over everything in baseball that day. Of course, we're going to bring up the Cubs and the White Sox quite a bit. And of course, all this brought to you by Circa Sports. I cannot wait to get started. Friday can't get here soon enough. Let's go!
I knew that I would expect that kind of energy out of Cody Decker. That is what happens. I can't wait until you're consuming even more caffeine leading up to the beginning of that show. Yes, there it is, on cue, the caffeine intake.
Out of how many containers are you drinking at one point? You've got the mug and a can of something, at least one.
The can is just
Hold them up
simple.
If you got them. smoothie.
Yeah, the can is very simple. The can is just simply bubbly. It's sparkling water. This is just pure jet fuel in this coffee mug, though. I am just hopped up on an outrageous amount of caffeine, so much so that it would make me think that I might have been drinking the coffee from the 1980s, which there was leaded coffee and the unleaded coffee, but I'm pretty certain this is unleaded.
That was well into the 90s as well. I know at least in the Cubs clubhouse it was.
And then came Monster and such. Getting back to jet fuel, unfortunately there wasn't enough in Jake Marisnik's shoes, PF Flyers maybe, to get from first to home on that send it play where he was sent home in that potentially game-tying situation last night. What did you think of that call and just the Cubs trying to come back the way they did being down in the ninth?
It was exciting. Of course, you had a situation where you would have had a runner on third base with less than two outs. That's the unfortunate thing. But I liked the aggressiveness of the play. Marisnik can run a little bit. And he was trying to catch Kevin Pillar sleeping a little bit on that throw in. Unfortunately, he wasn't banking on the fact that Luis Guillorme is one of the best infielders in all of Major League Baseball. In case you guys don't know Chicago, Luis Guillorme is a player that does something spectacular every single night. He's a guy that you're going to be hearing the name of a lot over the next couple of years. It was a very exciting play. And, you know, a lot of people are talking about, oh, man, not enough excitement in baseball. A relay play to the plate is as exciting in a sports moment as anything there is. And in a huge moment like that, I thought it was awesome. Of course, the Cubs came up a little short. But, you know, Taijuan Walker, after a tough couple of innings to start the day, really came out swinging after that. Taijuan Walker is looking to be one of the biggest and easiest pickups of this offseason.
I was okay with the send because I have to be honest about what I said in the moment at the time. I can't look at it outcome biased because as it was going on, and I'm not in the building, so I can't. I have to rely on the camera to cut away, and I have to presume where certain people were concurrently in time, but I'm thinking send him. Because if you want to make a perfect relay to beat me, okay, I'll force that. I'll force two perfect throws and a well-applied tag even at the major league level.
And it was exactly that. To get Marisnik at the plate, it had to be a perfect throw. Luis Guillorme was all the way out there about 250 feet away from the plate making that throw. You know, odds are it's going to be a bounce throw. So you're banking on a perfect bounce throw in that amount of time and a perfectly caught and applied tag. It was just a perfectly executed play. I appreciated the aggressiveness because it's one of those situations, damned if you do, damned if you don't. If he's out at home plate, yeah, everyone can point at that right now. But really, if he was safe, right now Marisnik and that third base coach are heroes.
Yes, I would also argue, though, that in you knowing the personnel, so should they. And when you mention Guillorme and you mention Pillar, who we know is not exactly not bad out there, and James McCann, that's risky from first. With Hayward up, though, he ended up walking. But that all changed the inning before that.
It did, but I don't know. I'm not as against it. The only thing I'm against is making that out at home plate when you will have a runner in scoring position with less than two outs. That hurts a little bit, but you know you can't fault a team for trying to go for the win, and I love it. I think this team is very aggressive, and this team has to remain aggressive to continue to compete because the Brewers, they're not going anywhere. And of course, the Cardinals are playing not their best baseball right now, but you know they're going to come back.
I love the pitching matchup today. The Cubs have called up Robert Stock, who throws 100 miles an hour at a triple. He's going to face Jacob DeGrom. And I wonder from a gambling perspective, too, is this an opportunity or is this a sucker play?
I think it's a sucker play, and here's why. I think the Cubs have an actual legitimate shot of winning this game against Jacob DeGrom because I'm pretty sure Jacob DeGrom will be on a relatively short leash. You're only going to get him for 4 to 6 innings, and then you got to deal with the Mets bullpen. So for those first 5 innings, I would definitely take the prop bet that the Mets will be in the lead for the first 5 innings. But after that, all bets are off. The Cubs bullpen is quite good, and it's actually better than the Mets bullpen. So this could be a very interesting night, to say the least. Robert Stock, good friend. I love him. I'm really excited for him. Tough draw going up against Jacob DeGrom, man. I am so sorry that that's what you had to pull.
It's crazy that there are 4 first-place teams when we talk about the Cubs taking on the Mets and the White Sox taking on the Rays. What has been your opinion so far of the Rays? Outside of what Tyler Glasnow had to say, the idea being that they've been able to just develop the talent the way they have, still leading the AL East and facing a White Sox team where you are looking at some version of possible contenders here, depending on who's healthy at the end of the season.
There's a reason why there's a phrase used out throughout all of baseball, and it comes with developmental, and that is the quote-unquote Rays model. The Rays model works, plain and simple, so much so that it's sprinkled to other organizations, such as the Los Angeles Dodgers, who use the quote-unquote Rays model. The San Francisco Giants, who currently have the best record in the National League, use the Rays model. They're a team that can beat you in an outrageous amount of ways, and they are exceedingly fun to watch. The only downside is they're stuck in Tampa, and no one even knows they're there. But I gotta say, they are just a blast to watch, and they are fun to watch. An exciting team. Take a guy like Brett Phillips. It doesn't matter if that guy's hitting 130 or 330. He is one of the most fun guys to watch play baseball. He's pure joy out there. And what I am taking away from this right now is, so far, the White Sox are really looking to separate themselves from the rest of Major League Baseball. Not the American League Central. Major League Baseball. If they take this game tonight from the Rays, it's a statement, and an absolute statement, that they are the very best in the AL.
The latest, where the hell did this guy come from for the White Sox, is Brian Goodwin, who is a journeyman sort of 4A level player who steps right in and is swinging that hot stick right now. And it's been, whether it's Patrick Wisdom or Yermín Mercedes or any of these other guys that the Cubs have had, this has sort of been the story in Chicago this year, is teams making use not just of the major league roster they had to break camp and start the season, but reaching down into their depth to get contributions. It's inherently fun to watch that.
It is, and I think it should be a little eye-opening to the fans in Chicago and really the fans throughout Major League Baseball. You said the line right there, the 4A player. I was a 4A player. Understand, those players are exceedingly good. If you could play and be successful at AA or higher, you could be very successful in the big leagues. I maintain that we have never seen potential all-stars, MVPs, and Hall of Famers because they just never got a chance to play in the big leagues. And that's just a kind of a cruel fact of the game. But watching these guys come out there and contribute on first-place teams, mind you, it's something that's really exciting to see. Patrick Wisdom has basically captured the heart of the city for this last 2 weeks. It's wonderful to see. And as far as the White Sox, keep in mind, Mercedes was one of those guys as well. Now we look at Mercedes like he's one of the stars of the team. But at the beginning of this year, were we looking at him that way? We were still busy mourning the loss of McCann.
Also trying to figure out what's happening to Mercedes now. Ooh. We know the bloom is off that rose a little bit.
Stole his mojo.
High fastball outside seems to be a concern. Is it wrong to know that that's going to come back down and wait for it? Or should you enjoy it as much as you can? I think getting advice from you who's been there on the other side is key here.
I think it's a combination of the two. I think there's a balance there. I think you got to enjoy this, because what you're experiencing right now is something people don't get a chance to experience. Again, we just got our 20,000th major leaguer in the history of Major League Baseball, which is 150 years old. That's not a lot of people. That is one third of the capacity of Dodger Stadium. That's how few people have made it to the big league. So obviously, you need to enjoy it. One of my big regrets of my first call-up is I didn't really enjoy it. It felt like work. I was part of a very toxic clubhouse, and it just... at no point was it enjoyable. And that's something I really deeply regret about my baseball career, that I didn't get to enjoy my first major league experience. They should enjoy it, but also keep in the back of their head, knowing full well that they are replaceable, because at the end of the day, they're just there to replace one of the stars. And once one of the stars comes back, you're going right back down to AAA in the 3A show league, grinding it out. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just, you have to tape your expectations. Unfortunately, a lot of these guys are not earning themselves a starting job in Chicago.
I hear stories of some of these call-ups. Yeah, we have Ian Happ on weekly, and he does the Compound podcast on John Boy Network. And he one of the guys in the Compound is Zach Short, who had his first time in the bigs with the Tigers this year, just talking about how he didn't know that you could order your bats and you didn't have to pay for them. You could just go in and get as many bats as you want, and he felt weird. And then he had like the wrong undershirt on, and they're like, hey, just, you know, go get yourself one of the thermals. Like, what do you mean? Like, you can just take one. I feel like I would be like, if I stay at like a St. Regis hotel or a Ritz-Carlton and like fetishizing how good the soap is and how good the shampoo is, I'm like, I'm going to take this conditioner home with me, because this is kind of us. It's like Neutrogena stuff. That's how I would feel in a big league clubhouse. Like, wow, like I can get all this free sunflower seeds. My God.
You know, you get your first taste of that in spring training if you're in big league camp, and it's a different experience. I can't stress that enough. The experience that he's describing is very real. My first time getting to the big leagues, though, there's one thing that was just unbelievable, and that was the travel. You leave the stadium, you get in a bus that's pulled up right to your clubhouse. You get on the bus, you get drive directly to the plane. You go up in the plane, and you have roughly two rows to yourself, and you have like your option of five gourmet meals and endless drinks, and usually the plane flight is an alcohol driven nightmare fest of all the players in the back just not behaving themselves. And that's what you're usually getting in a big league flight. But it's an amazing experience because you're so used to, I mean, I was used to sleeping in my car in the parking lot in Tucson. And here I am getting, you know, doted on by 14 different people. And the big thing that I really learned was the difference in laundry. I know that doesn't sound like much, but I was so used to getting my laundry loop, methodical, putting it there, making sure my name was on everything. In the big leagues, you don't have to do that. You just throw your clothes on the floor and someone picks it up. It is sweet. And also that, my favorite thing ever that ever happened in AAA was Jeff Francoeur was playing with me in El Paso, Texas in 2014. We had a little bit of a bar. Every time we won a game, guys would go into the bar and possibly have a drink together. And I remember Jeff Francoeur took a Bud Light, drank the entire thing down, and just looked at me and just dropped the bottle on the ground, looked around, seeing if any clubbies would get it. And he just walked away yelling, "Someone will get it."
And he's a nice guy. I enjoy his work on the Braves broadcast, too. He's always fun to cover. This is not fun to talk about, but it is the topic of the day, week, year. What did you think of what Tyler Glasnow had to say? And knowing what you know about the baseball, what you're hearing from players, how do you put all of this together right now with that latest memo that we heard from Major League Baseball?
It's tricky to put together because first things first, this quote-unquote crackdown that's been going on or about to go on is about one thing, and it's not about rosin and sunscreen. Listen, rosin is very legal. There's a rosin bag right behind home plate. And yes, if rosin is mixed with sweat, it becomes very sticky, but more like glue rather than anything that you want to throw with. So guys, use sunscreen. It's already been proven that sunscreen and rosin does not really affect the spin of the ball. Maybe a couple of RPMs, but really not much. And that's been more than proven. What this whole thing was about was things like spider tack that we talked about last week. Pelican grip dip. These are pine tar substitutes that are very, very different on the baseball. It affects the spin in a drastic way. So the fact that they're even putting in the memo that rosin and sunscreen is going to be looked at as a foreign substance. Yeah, it's a foreign substance, but come on, now we're just playing around with baby town frolics at this point. This is just one thing and one thing only. Major League Baseball keeps changing the baseballs, and how can we get the focus off of them? Simple, these cheating pitchers. That's how we're going to do it. And if we're going to sit around talking about pace of play, I'm looking very forward to these five-hour Law and Order episodes of baseball games we're about to get.
That's it. They're going to take forever.
Well, I also think that baseball is trying to divide the players, and it's very clear how they're doing it, that when you have members of the same union who are on opposite sides of this between hitters and pitchers, I think it serves baseball well to be able to sort of pick at that a little bit, to try to foment a little bit of internal strife, even if it's just in its early stages.
You saw them do it a couple years ago with the Astros scandal. Obviously, players were trying to eat each other during that time, and you're seeing it now as well. And was it the actual purpose of everything that Major League Baseball is doing? Probably not. Really, that was more of a pipe dream, probably an added bonus watching players go after each other now, because these are just things they're going to write down for the next CBA, and they're just giving them extra fuel for the fire, and I hate that. I think players do need to stick together. Do I think Major League Baseball should really take care of the doctoring baseball scenario with spider tack and Pelican grip dip? Absolutely. Mid-season? No, that is a really odd choice to really implement these new rules mid-season that are drastically going to affect the game itself. I don't know what they're doing. I really don't. I'm just looking at this at every angle and I'm like, what's the purpose, the true purpose of all of this? The only thing I can come up with, this is all about one thing, and that's the CBA, because it's not helping anything else.
That's it. That's what we're all trying to figure out. They say it might be the integrity of the game. They say they want to help offenses have more power in this, but then they're changing the ball as well. And that's where it becomes really difficult to figure out who's chasing who.
At the end of the day, whenever Major League Baseball implements a new rule, we should all ask ourselves one real question. Who benefits? Who truly benefits from this happening? Because in this scenario, it's not the hitters. It's not the pitchers. It's not the players. Doesn't seem like it's the fans. So who exactly is benefiting with this ridiculousness?
There's a quote from Rich Hill, of all people, who he's 41 now, I believe, Rich Hill. And because of spin rate, and because of the understanding of spin rate and his breaking stuff, he's still earning a paycheck. Here's Rich Hill on the ball. He says, a hockey puck is a hockey puck. A basketball is a basketball. A football is a football. Why can't we get it right with a baseball? When it's 100 degrees and humid, we get rosin. When it's freezing, we get rosin. Hitters and pitchers alike feel rosin isn't enough. Is he right?
He's 100% right. It's not enough. And I know old school baseball guys are going to sit here and say, well, I was able to throw with rosin in my day. Whatever. You had spitballs. You guys were taking greenies and snorting cocaine in the bullpen. Get out of here with your integrity of your game. Your game was nonsense. This game right now is a different place. Also, no one threw 98 plus. Everyone now throws 98 plus. It's a different game. They're different athletes. Get over it. The game doesn't belong to you anymore. And I'm retired too. It doesn't belong to me anymore either. It's up to the guys now that are in there right now. Their job is to safeguard the game and make it better for the future. And it's weird watching Major League Baseball pull in the opposite direction. Yes, rosin is not enough. You saw the entire statement by Tyler Glasnow, and there was a lot of good points in there. There is an actual injury factor in this. Changing those baseballs every year is not exactly a safe thing for pitchers. It might change finger placement. It might change finger pressure on certain balls. If the seams are different or raised or slightly loosened, that's going to change the things. That's going to change the consistency of the baseball when it comes to blisters. Like, this is legitimately a problem. And the fact that Major League Baseball is just pivoting, saying, well, they're doctoring the ball, is just distracting. There's no reason to distract. Let's just solve the problem. Keep in mind, who makes the baseballs? Rawlings. Who owns Rawlings? Major League Baseball.
A texter says, one, your game was nonsense t-shirt, please. See if Obvious Shirts can get on that one for us. I'd wear it.
Indeed.
Cody, the new show, Down the Line with Cody Decker. This is an announcement brought to you by The Score and Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Down the Line with Cody Decker, presented by Circa Resort and Casino, home of the world's largest sports book. It is going to be before Cubs pregame shows. We got 40 shows coming up, the first one Friday at 6 p.m. What do you have in mind? Like, if you've already been brainstorming the kinds of things you want to do, what do you envision this really being?
I envision it being just honest talk about the game, honest talk about certain gambling lines, and also taking a look at different gambling lines that no one's maybe thought of. There are a lot of interesting prop bets out there in baseball that are really starting to get fire, and I want people to start seeing them because I do think by looking at the game through this aspect, it'll help you understand the game itself more, as crazy as that is. You start looking at different aspects of the game, you start getting more excited. You start understanding the spy aspect of Major League Baseball. You know, betting on things that are between innings two and three. Is this guy going to walk? If he walks, how's it going to affect the game going forward? There are legitimate ways to learn about baseball through this, and I want to be able to be that great buffer for you. If you're not into gambling, perfectly fine. If you are, you're going to love this. If you're not, you're going to love this just the same, because we are going to break down baseball in ways that you've never seen before, and I am excited to do it. And honestly, this couldn't have been happening without, of course, the listeners at The Score for being so kind to me and bringing me in. And of course, you guys, Dan, Layla, thank you so much for everything you guys have done for me. Doing this show with you guys every Wednesday has been so impactful, and I've had an absolute blast here on The Score. Everyone up and down the network, thank you guys so much.
Feeling is mutual. Congratulations on the show Friday at 6.
Can't wait, guys.
That's Cody Decker. Follow him on Twitter at Decker6. We haven't really even talked about the White Sox game in earnest last night. I know we got into some of the specifics of the Cubs game as well. I want to talk a little about the performance of Dallas Keuchel and what that meant. Also, I've got the lineup for today's game that we're going to. Jordan and Shane and I are all going to the White Sox game today immediately when we get done here. So I think I'm looking forward to that, even with the Shane aspect kind of looming over everything.
Shane's going to need to video a lot of what happens.
I don't know. We'll see. I've got great trepidation. That's coming up on The Score.
This is Ian Happ, your center fielder from the north side. Connect Roasters and I are happy to announce the Home Run Club, a coffee subscription for baseball fans. You'll get freshly roasted coffee shipped to your door on the first of every month, access to exclusive game-used merch, personal notes from me, and most importantly, when I hit a home run, you'll get $5 towards coffee and merch on connectroasters.com. Our goal is to have 1,000 members enjoying great coffee and giving back to the community. For more information, go to connectroasters.com or homerunclub.coffee. Together, we can make a difference, one cup at a time.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
The pitch. Sogard lines one. Right center field, base hit. Mareznick racing around second. He's heading to third. The throw comes in, and Mareznick will try to score. Here he comes. The throw to the plate. He is going to be out at the plate. Mareznick trying to score all the way from first. And the relay nails him at the plate for the second out in the inning.
You know, I always err on the side of aggressiveness. I thought that was a really nice relay by Guillorme. Almost a blind turn and throw to get, you know, our fastest base runner. Trying to make something happen there late. I don't have a problem with that at all. I was, I err on the side of aggressiveness and the chances of that, you know, bang, bang relay. Just a nice job by them. They played a clean baseball game and came out ahead.
David Ross, thank you for saying aggressiveness and not aggression. A pet peeve of mine when the latter is substituted for the former, they don't mean the same thing. Playing with aggressiveness or playing aggressively doesn't mean you're playing with aggression, which is more angry and bellicose. So thank you for that. It's just from me. Here's your White Sox lineup for today. By the way, Bernstein and Rahimi show Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to noon. Tim Anderson leads off today. He will play shortstop. Brian Goodwin is in center field, batting second. Andrew Vaughn bats third. He's in left. Jose Abreu, got to get him going, man. He's at first base cleaning up. Yasmani Grandal's the DH. Jay Clam, bat sixth, plays right field. Leury Garcia is at third. Moncada still out with what they're saying is a sinus infection. Those are no fun. Zach Collins will do the catching because it's Lucas Giolito on the mound. And Danny Mendick is your second baseman, batting ninth.
So Zach Collins is now catching for Lucas Giolito pretty regularly and Carlos Rodon.
Seems that way. Personal preference. I will say, the Dallas Keuchel you saw last night, that's what you paid for. Not the guy you saw against the A's in the playoffs last year. Not that, like, nibbling and sweating and itchy and twitchy. Last night, that changeup with that cutter and a couple of breaking balls and living life around those edges, being in control of it, reading swings, reacting appropriately, that's what you paid for. It was glorious.
The command out of Dallas Keuchel, the sinker sinking properly, the 100-plus pitches that we saw out of him, 102, 101, that's the dude. And the ground ball out percentage, most importantly. If you have an infield that you can't quite figure out because there's been so many injuries, that's what you want behind him. What I also found interesting, Dan, was that we hear Lance Lynn say, it's June, I don't really care, in so many words. But that was not the case out of Dallas Keuchel. Keuchel said the opposite. He pointed out how competitive they are. He pointed out the importance of those and what they mean. He also looked ahead to Houston. And if you didn't hear what he had to say, telling Merkin from MLB, Scott Merkin, about how he feels about the Astros, I found that to be pretty compelling too, because he didn't have anything against the Astros, but he absolutely did with Jeff Luhnow. And having covered that period of time in his career, I know it's not just from his time with Jeff Luhnow and the contract discussion. It goes back to him being drafted by Ed Wade.
Oh, so he just wasn't a Luhnow guy.
He wasn't a Luhnow guy. So I think that's to keep in mind there too. When he has that quote, I don't think it's simply about Luhnow's decision to not re-sign him on that team. I think it has to do with going back to the fact that he was an Ed Wade pick, as was George Springer.
Speaking of which, I didn't know until I looked him up, and I'm sure this has been discussed on the broadcast, but I just wasn't aware until I was reminded, that Brian Goodwin was a White Sox draft pick.
Coming back around.
Yeah, that I had forgot that he was drafted in the 17th round in 2009. Out of high school. He didn't sign, and he went to University of North Carolina, and he was drafted again in the first round after he played so well at UNC. But when you think about it, in 09, you're talking about a classic Kenny Williams kind of pick. Athletic, toolsy, rangy, fast outfielder guy. And to have him back now, I didn't know that he sort of fit that mold. It's not quite on the level of like a Ken Griffey Jr. or a Roberto Alomar or that kind of thing. Like, yes, I finally brought my butt. When somebody likes you, when somebody has you on their radar and always has had a thing for you and taken a chance on you, that's a nice little bookend to this career for him.
It is, and we've seen that work out to some of the Cubs' favors that we've talked about. Scouts who are familiar with guys like Patrick Wisdom and Tommy Nance and that sort of thing. Wisdom being the main one there in his previous relationships. But I don't mind Goodwin batting second behind Tim Anderson. partially for that reason that you mentioned, but also because if you're going to have a service time light lineup at the bottom of your lineup, maybe you kind of sprinkle in the protection.
You can say bad.
But it's not. But the funny thing is, like, they've been producing for what they need them to be. Like, Leury Garcia scoring the run last night, that was aggressive, and it worked.
I just think that they're still playing over their heads. Some of this, to me, still feels like borrowed time with all of these replacement-level players or below.
The news about Madrigal undergoing season-ending surgery, which, if you and I recall, I felt like it was a very White Sox-ish way they put it, almost like with Carlos Rodon, where it's like, yeah, he might not have surgery. Oh, by the way, 2 weeks later, he got surgery. And it's every team's right to do that. I'm not criticizing the news process. But it had that kind of feel to it, where you're like, yeah, he's probably done for the season. We find that out yesterday. And now, at what point do you say, oh, X, Y, and Z prospects look pretty good to trade because they do need offensive help? Mm-hmm. We don't know when Eloy Jimenez is back or what he's going to look like. And without Moncada?
Yeah, I'm more optimistic than Moncada. I don't have any reason to believe that a sinus infection is to keep him out long term. But yeah, this lineup without Moncada is kind of ugh.
Remember when I said you don't want to have to key in on your main Mercedes as the dude?
Right.
But because of the absences in all these lineups, we're having to do so. Moncada, yes. I think we all expect him to be back at some point.
It's their best player. They're missing their best player.
But the problem is they've missed a lot of their best players. And now we're stuck here. So what's the straw that finally gets them to have to make some sort of move at the trade deadline? And who are they going
to
trade?
You just hate to have them trading for needs or perceived needs when a first place team should be trading for luxuries.
And our guy Lawrence Holmes just walks by, and he had pointed out earlier, a couple weeks ago, that they might have to go outside for bullpen help.
Which is what you usually do.
But that was supposed to be the strength of the team. So if you really think you're contending, this is the right team to measure it against. Also, hey, don't we have tickets to give away?
We do. We're going to give them away next. And we got to do some, like, rapid-fire NBA headlines.
Because there was too much news today.
Massive news going on. We've got injuries. We've got firings. We've got potential coach hirings. There's all sorts of stuff going on. So we're going to just do NBA rapid-fire headlines and give away a four-pack of Cubs tickets for Sunday's game against the Miami Marlins. So don't go anywhere. That's straight ahead on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
No rush here for L.A. Leonard, 7 to shoot. Kawhi makes his move. Oh, wow!
A major Kawhi light!
Oh, my goodness.
Put a frame on that poster!
A three goes down for Joe Ingles.
My goodness.
Intense.
I mean, the cutouts started to jump up and applaud.
I saw some of the moves.
Yeah.
Well, now Kawhi is hurt. He sprained his knee. So that was just one of the bombshells that dropped today. If you've been following NBA news, Kawhi Leonard is added to the list of injured stars. Do we know the prognosis?
It said out indefinitely with the sprained knee, but there were like 95 Woj and Shams bombs that happened in about a 20-minute time period, and that was one of them. Additionally, we found out about your guy, Stan Van.
Pour one out for Stan Van Gundy, who is no longer the Pelicans head coach. They are rumored to be considering assistant Teresa Witherspoon for the head job.
Correct. So that's two. And then Scott Brooks, did we see that Woj bomb come down as well?
We did. Scott Brooks, the way they phrased it was they couldn't agree on terms of an extension. So that's just probably another way of saying fired, because if they wanted to keep him, they'd keep him. But he's out in Washington. That's yet another opening.
Which is curious to me, because Brooks, I thought, did a great job with that team. They start 17-32 and still made it to the playoffs, and they had a COVID outbreak.
Yeah, I've just never been a fan of his offensive creativity. There just really is none.
It speaks more to, I think, also what Russell Westbrook thinks of him, because I thought that was a reunion that made a lot of sense.
As does any NBA firing. You always look to the opinion of the veteran superstar. Also, history made by Kevin Durant last night. One of the great triple-double performances in NBA playoff history. 49 points on 16 for 23 shooting, 17 rebounds, and 10 assists, and just played the hell out of it defensively as well. Not to mention, Chris Paul is in COVID protocol.
So we don't know what's happening there. We don't know if he's been vaccinated or partially vaccinated or what the entire details are. And he is reportedly out indefinitely. And I don't know about you, Dan, but the first thing I thought was, oh, so CP3, who took out LeBron's team and was making its way handily through the Western Conference playoffs so far, is now suddenly in COVID protocol, given what happened to LeBron, and he didn't have to face COVID protocols.
Well, we don't know if he has COVID. We don't know of his vaccination status. This is all I'm saying when we're talking about guys like Jason Hayward and Anthony Rizzo and everybody else about wait till October and wait till the Delta variant and the Delta plus variant and when you are under the 85% threshold and you have things more likely to spread. Man, you got to think like a teammate here. And are you doing everything you can do to give your teammates the best chance to win? And if you're not vaccinated, the answer is no. And it means you're a bad teammate.
Jordan Malley, I saw you reach for that microphone. What'd you want to say?
I was going to say, I was just scrolling through Twitter and it says that on Get Up This Morning, Jalen Rose, according to him on ESPN, said that Chris Paul is vaccinated.
Okay,
so if he is vaccinated, that should allow him, if there has been an exposure of some kind, that would affect his... That would positively affect his timetable, right? Shouldn't you theoretically be able to return?
Yes.
Yeah, because these vaccinations work.
Yes. We know that. But either way, CP3 is now out for some amount of time that we can't quantify and can't figure out. And we don't know how that's going to affect the playoffs. I'm also looking at some of the texts on the text line. I don't know why Sox fans are so enamored with this idea of trading for Chris Bryant.
Sox fans.
Or maybe it's a Cub fan wanting Chris Bryant to be traded, and that I can understand.
For a rental?
But the White Sox are not in the need of Chris Bryant.
No. And what it would cost is not what they want to surrender either.
Go back to what James Fegan was talking about with who might be possible. But we don't know what's happening with Chris Paul regarding the COVID protocol. So to have that information about the vaccine, I think is pretty important.
Caller 6 to the Scores contest line, 312-540-0670. 312-540-0670. Wins a 4-pack of tickets to see the Cubs take on the Miami Marlins at Wrigley Field this Sunday, June 20th. First pitch is 1:20 p.m. Visit Cubs.com/tickets to get the seats you want. When we come back, it's transition time with Lawrence Holmes on the Score.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show on your ride home. Afternoons 2 to 6 on the Score.
White Sox pitcher Lance Lynn.
You see it coming. Guys have taken it too far. You're not surprised by it, really. Hopefully, we make sure that we clean it up. Everybody's doing what they can to be the best they can within the rules. There's going to be a lot of decisions put on umpires that are going to put them in a bad spot, and it's going to be tough.
Danny Parkins, Matt Spiegel. Afternoons 2 to 6 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. An Odyssey Station.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.